Here's what you missed last time on Almost Entirely Sports.
Hold on. Breaking news here. Breaking news on Derek Carr. Jack Del Rio says he has a fracture. He's out 2 to 6 weeks.
Oh, no. Beards.
What?
Colin Kaepernick is still a free agent.
Eventually, also, I guess I need to talk about the fact that I went to late night in Lawrence, because we haven't talked about that on this show. Spoiler alert, I touched Lil Yachty. Maybe Alex Smith is to pass rush as I am to Alex Smith. Ever think about that?
Okay. This is the emperor going outside and saying, "Hello, my loyal subjects. Look at my beautiful robe, manufactured by Adidas."
This is a preemptive apology for all of the gross sounds my mouth is going to make throughout the show today.
Charlie, you've been very absent for a wild, wet, and wacky Wednesday.
Sorry.
Also, very good call by you there, turning on your microphone, then clearing your throat. If you want to throw bread at me for $5, you can 100% do that.
I'm very annoyed with you guys because you guys are out there and you're going to eat food there. I got my lunch from school.
Well, Beards, well, you might think that we're both waiting on some new deliciousness. You might think that would be the case. Charlie responded with a, "I ate before I came. Check back later." Whatever I just did was sinful. It's wonderful.
Do we want to just spend the rest of the segment trying to figure out what Charlie wants to order?
Honestly, I do.
Okay.
Honestly, I do.
What's in the lunch menu?
Oh my God, we're not doing this right now.
Charlie is just on his Facebook page personally trying to see if Beards has vandalized it anyway. We're at the intersection of Shawnee Mission Parkway and Antioch. It's by the Krispy Kreme. It was in and Charlie's fallen asleep. Oh, no. Okay, well, we're going to do the rest of the show without Charlie because he has filled his belly with food and he's in a coma now.
Isn't this a sports show?
Chad, I can only imagine in response to us singing the Bananas in Pajamas theme song, said there's a reason other shows don't do it. It's a sports show. Or at least I thought it was.
Almost Entirely.
Well, that was your first mistake. It's Almost Entirely Sports.
That's the name of the show!
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Put that on my tombstone. He died with a great shirt, a great watch, and a great haircut.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
There's podcasts of this bleep everywhere.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at JB Briscoe.
There is a type of person that just loves this show. We just have to find a few of them.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Oh, I'm ready to go. Woo! I can do a radio show. I could coach the offensive lineman in Miami. I think that job's still technically open. Fired back. Fired up to be back. Sorry, it's hard to think and speak clearly with just pounds of cocaine coursing through your veins. So I've been told. Welcome into Almost Entirely Sports. We haven't had a show I think we got out 6 days. Last time we did a show, we were out at Pegas on Wednesday. By the way, enormous thank you to the Pegas at Shawnee Mission Parkway at Antioch. Go eat their food. I mean, you pay them and then they bring you food, but go do that because they have supported ESPN Kansas City. So we want to support them. We were out there on Wednesday. That's the last time we had a show. Since then,
it's been rough, man. Let me tell you.
Since then, do you know what's happened? That's happened. The Chiefs are 5-0. The vice president orchestrated an anthem protest. That also happened. That's a different sniff, by the way. I can tell because that's how many times I've heard that sound. Marcus Peters yelled at Bob Sutton, and I am clutching my pearls with all of the upset energy that I can possibly manage. That's that good stuff. That's that good stuff. Beards told me in my ear just then that was the last one, and I knew that. Because again, I've watched that video enough to remember and to know he had exactly 3 lines of mysterious white powdery substances on his desk in front of him. I knew.
We were really disappointed we didn't have a show Monday.
It's okay. It's okay though. Now it's okay because we have 30 minutes today. Today we're doing the show from 4 p.m. to 4:30 and then we're out for baseball. Tomorrow we have a full show. So today is going to be a sampler. Today is, you know, you go to a new restaurant or something. Or let's make it a buffet. You know what? We're a buffet. This isn't fine dining. This is a buffet for specific types of people. You're at a buffet today. It's your first time at this buffet. You walk up to the buffet. You got a plate. You say, all right, I've got room for, like, you know, an entree and a couple sides. Or I have room for, like, six different bites of different things. Today we are that plate. Today you're going to get a bite of the Chiefs being undefeated. Today you're going to get a bite of Mike Pence. Gross. Today you're going to get a bite of offensive line coach for the Dolphins doing mysterious white powdery substances off of his desk and then taking a video of it, sending that video to a
model,
Vegas model, who then released it online under the impression of leave Colin Kaepernick alone. And you'll get a bite of, yeah, Chiefs Texans breakdowns. You'll get a bite of Jerry Jones. Gross.
This isn't like a normal buffet, though, where you have time to go back and get more and go back and get more.
No.
We are bringing this to you,
yes,
and shoving it down your throat.
That's right. We are.
We are the buffet that comes to you, and we just take the steak and just shove it in your face.
It's like one of those big Nerf guns. You know, you have to, like, pump it full of air, and then instead of a Nerf, like a Nerf bolt at the front, we're just putting, like, some coleslaw in there.
Oh, yeah,
and we're
yeah,
just
yeah,
blasting your face with coleslaw.
The Coke and the other, the Coca-Cola, I should clarify. We're going to have to clarify today. All the soft drinks are in water guns,
yeah,
that
oh,
we're just
yes,
spraying at you.
Yes. I mean, like, right now, we have 18 minutes left, and we haven't actually talked about anything. All right. Oh, also, Donald Trump said something amazing. I mean, like, oh my God!
That's the shortest bite. Do we want to just lead with that?
Sure. I saw this earlier today. We're going to go to the Chiefs after this. Here today is the most amazing piece of audio I've ever heard in my entire bleeping life.
You're not known to be a humble man, but I wonder...
I think I am actually humble. I think I'm much more humble than you would understand.
How perfect is that? You know what I thought whenever I heard that audio? The first thing I thought was, oh my God. The second thing I thought was, oh, I've said that.
You have. We have audio proof of this.
Do you have that right now?
Yes.
All right.
It's about a minute long, though.
Oh, wait, I did it in a minute? It took me a minute to do what Donald Trump did in like 10 seconds?
It's a whole thing. We have, oh, here. I'll isolate the good bit, and then we'll get
Please
back to
do
it.
That. Because when I heard that audio today, I heard that, and I was like, oh, I've done that bit before. Like, yeah, man. Like, I'm talented, and I'm handsome, and I'm strong-willed, and I'm very skilled, and I'm also very, very humble.
All right, I've got the clip.
All right.
For setup, really quickly, this is you saying that you're self-serving.
We have more evidence of me being self-serving than we have that the moon landing was a real thing. Like, we know that I'm self-serving. But also very humble.
This was the last time we did a show! That was on Wednesday at Pegas, right?
Yeah, that was at the remote.
The last time we did a show, I did that bit. Donald Trump's out here stealing my bleep. That's my bit. Donald Trump stole my bit. Oh, okay, also the Chiefs beat the Texans. A really weird game. Ended up being real high scoring. Wasn't that big. It wasn't actually that close. I was running the board for BTL yesterday because we didn't have a show here, so I was working over on 810. And Kevin pointed out something I had not heard, which was that I hadn't realized at least. Deshaun Watson had 75 passing yards into the fourth quarter. So if you got worried at all about Deshaun Watson putting up some Hail Mary bombs at the end of the game, do not worry about it. The Chiefs defense has got it. They got it handled. Don't bleep at me about Terrence Mitchell. He's a very good number two cornerback. I've been saying that since he was good last year against a couple of good quarterbacks back to back. He's a very good number two cornerback. Cornerbacks get beat sometimes. Go back in time, find some worse corners on this Chiefs team from your past, and you'll grow to appreciate Terrence Mitchell. Super double don't bleep about Marcus Peters, please. I know he's gotten beaten a couple times these last couple of weeks. It's what happens whenever you have a guy that you simply line up across from somebody else and say, all right, good luck, this is yours. You have him, good luck with it. Also, for the first time in his career, Marcus Peters lined up at right corner for one snap on Sunday night. It was the first time he's ever done that, and he shadowed DeAndre Hopkins, but Hopkins scored a touchdown on that play. So I don't know what was up with that, but that was bizarre and weird. Regardless,
Charlie just sit behind me and said, Peter sucks, is basically the evaluation you should take there.
You're saying Peter sucks.
Sure, sure. Out of context, out of mind.
Marcus Peters is one of the five best corners in football, and it's not, this isn't close or difficult. And Terrence Mitchell's like top 30. Like, the Chiefs are lucky to have him be the number two corner on this team. I will stand with those things. I will stand with those things very, very confidently. Yeah, Chiefs Marcus Peters lined up at right cornerback on a pass play for the first time in his NFL career. One snap versus DeAndre Hopkins ended up being a touchdown. Completely missed that. Thought that was bizarre. Also, one other Chiefs stat here, just to give you a little bit. This is just some fish food on the top of the water to try to get you to come bite back for tomorrow, because tomorrow's show we're going to do a lot more of all of this. According to Pro Football Focus, this is from Sean Wagner McGrath on Twitter. He said, when the Chiefs rush three men, they're getting pressure on 43.8% of the time per Pro Football Focus. 44% of the time when the Chiefs rush three guys, they're getting pressure. That's incredible. And it goes to support why Bob Sutton does that so often. I still like seeing more Justin Houston rushing the quarterback. But to see the defensive line getting pressure with just three guys is stupendous. It also makes a lot of sense, because I tried to tell y'all about this defensive line. Benny Logan, especially in the pass rush, is an upgrade over what Dontari Poe was. You got year two of Chris Jones, who's still rotating in with Raheem Munoz-Rochez, and Alan Bailey was criminally underrated, and you forgot about him whenever he got hurt last year, but that was unfair to him. That defensive line is doing things. On Sunday night, the run defense held up. Deshaun Watson did nothing special till the game was over. Again, he had 75 yards through three quarters. There are so many things from that game that, well, again, we'll unpack as we go. And I know that there was no J.J. Watt, there was no Whitney Mercilus. The most exciting thing from Sunday night had to be, and God, I cannot believe I'm saying this, listen to this sentence. Listen to this sentence and tell me if you just keel over with a stroke. The most exciting thing that happened with the Chiefs game on Sunday was Alex Smith on third downs. Everybody's heart stops. We all just die. Hell's frozen over. It went from like 80 degrees to like 40 degrees, going to be like 75 again tomorrow. Today hell is frozen over today. Hell being Overland Park, Kansas, I guess. Because Alex Smith was stupendous on third down on Sunday night. Like, okay, fine. It's just the world we live in now. All right. Okay. I accept it. Alex Smith is great. The Chiefs are great. Everything's wonderful. All right, fine. Surely this will last. I hope it does. I want to believe. But that was the amazing thing from Sunday night. Honestly, no sarcasm on this little bubble for a moment. The Chiefs were winning at the line of scrimmage. Mitchell Schwartz was stupendous. Everyone else held up very, very well. Schwartz was there for 42 pass blocks. He had no sacks, no hits, no hurries. Cameron Irving got the start at right guard, as Laurent Duvernay-Tardif is still out. He was completely serviceable. That whole offensive line was just winning at the point of attack. It's easier to win whenever you're not going up against J.J. Watt or Whitney Mercilus, but I'll take it where I can get it, man. That was a really good performance from the Chiefs' offensive line. Also, again, the secondary was good. Mike Mayock gave Kevin Pierre-Lewis some high praise because KPL, as I like to call him, we're close, was the guy who was spying on Deshaun Watson for much of the night. So that's where Mayock was giving some extra praise, a guy that I wasn't paying much attention to because Pierre-Lewis didn't have to make many plays. He just sort of was there, and that worked. Also, one other thing on Alex Smith. He was fantastic on third downs. He was throwing the ball past the sticks to receivers, past the sticks. The Chiefs lose Chris Conley for the year with an Achilles injury, which is a bummer. But by way of weapons, other than Kareem Hunt and Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, everybody's somewhat replaceable. And now Travis Kelce's up in the air with his concussion stuff that we just don't know anything else about right now. But the thing that Alex Smith was doing, and this was more important than anything else I had seen from Alex Smith in his time as a Chief so far, he was throwing the ball past the sticks on third down. That's what matters. The stuff about high completion percentages and a great quarterback rating. Honestly, and this is not me being a wet blanket, not on purpose at least. High completion percentage, great quarterback rating, no interceptions. Those things, honestly, for Alex Smith, don't really matter to me. And that's not an Alex Smith problem. It's what we've seen from Alex Smith. That doesn't matter to me because we've seen him do that. This is the best he's been at those things, but we've still seen him do that. What's new is 3rd and 6, 3rd and 4, 3rd and 7, 3rd and 15. Alex Smith drops back to pass, looking beyond the sticks, throws the ball. Oh, complete across the middle to Travis Kelce. First down. That matters. And I still think the Chiefs could have done much more in the way of downfield passing in this game. This was still not the Chiefs' best offensive showing. It was closer to it, though. If you ignore what happened at the end of the game as the defense shifted and everything, I think you would have seen probably the Chiefs' most well-rounded defensive showing, which did not surprise me. I told you I thought Deshaun Watson would look like a rookie in this game. He did. And not lost, but just whenever he had to go past his first read, he got a little shook. That's what I expected. That's exactly what I expected from Deshaun Watson. Told you that back on Wednesday. Offensively, this team has more growing to do. Kareem Hunt was largely ineffective, you could say. Still rushed for 100 yards. Tyreek Hill was not all over the field in this game. Still had a nice receiving game. Travis Kelce ended up getting knocked out with a concussion. Still had, I think, like 90-some yards. Not quite 100, but was near it, off the top of my head. Two things here on the Chiefs offense before we get into the cocaine and to the anthems. Because, again, we have, 7 minutes left in the show? This is nerve-wracking. This is hard. Roger tweeted me on Twitter, at JB Briscoe, in case you're wondering. He said, how do I live in the now and forget a 13-year sample size when it comes to Alex Smith? And I think you either have two options. You either are pleasantly surprised whenever things go well, which has been my move this whole season, or you pretend that you saw this coming and are not surprised at all, which is what everyone in my mentions is doing. Those are both reasonable options. I'm doing the former. Because no, I didn't see this coming. Like this is Alex Smith's first, listen to this. This stat is insane. Alex Smith has been in the league for a decade. This is his first season with 200-300-plus yard games. First season ever with two games in that season of 300 or more yards passing. He did it in 5 games this year. He never did it in 16. So yeah, I'm an idiot. I'm a dope. How could I not have seen this coming? Alex Smith just flinging the ball all over the field was only the most obvious thing of 2017, and I am a buffoon for not peering into the crystal ball and seeing only the most obvious thing ever to show up for this franchise. All right, fine. I'm a dope. Quit listening. Unfollow me on Twitter. Obviously, this is something that we did not see coming. No one saw coming. That's great. Here's the thing. Here's where this offense works, and then we're going to go to the cocaine story. If the Chiefs play a defense that can't stop the run or can't stop a monstrous tight end or can't stop a really stupendous, speedy downfield deep threat, if the Chiefs play a defense that can't stop any of those three things, they're going to score points. They have the Steelers this week. They can't stop the run. Leonard Fournette last week was waving defenders towards him, begging for them to try to hit him. That happened. That's a thing that happened. Kareem Hunt's going to have 120 yards rushing this week. Or the Steelers are going to overcompensate and Tyreek Hill's going to have 120 yards receiving. And that's if Travis Kelce is out. At this point, I don't expect Travis Kelce to play. So Demetrius Harris is going to have 90 yards receiving. The Steelers are going to have to pick their poison. Everybody in the league is going to have to do that because the Chiefs have that much going for them. So that's why I'm feeling good about where this Chiefs offenses. What's up, Beards?
We still got about 4 minutes.
Great.
I whispered the wrong time in your ear.
That's okay. I heard you say something, but you didn't say it loud enough. All right, just really, really quick. We're gonna finish on the cocaine story. Is what we're gonna do. I'm also still like I still have some like tuberculosis left in my body.
You sound a little sickish, but much
moving in the
better.
Right direction, yes. For sure. Anyway, Mike Pence went to the Colts game. He flew from Las Vegas to Indianapolis to attend the Colts game. But he and President Trump had already convened beforehand to establish that if there was any protesting during the national anthem, that Mike Pence would leave.
Didn't he also tweet out a photo of him from like 3 years ago and just pass it off as I just was there?
Yep. That's also a thing that happened. And we're doing this today. We're talking about these stories that have 57 layers. And like, I can't even imagine, like any other day, each of these are 1A stories. Anyway, as Pablo Torre put it, quick recap, the White House strategically used the anthem to protest the horror of strategically using the anthem to protest. It's a thing that happened on Sunday. They showed up. So Pence went from Vegas to Indy, walked out after the anthem as this call to his supporter base, I suppose. Say, look at me doing the thing you want me to do. And then he flew to, I think, L.A. for a function. Spending a lot of taxpayer money, for the record. We'll talk about it more tomorrow, as I'm sure you're all just breathlessly waiting for. All right, cocaine time. The Miami Dolphins offensive line coach was snorting cocaine off of his desk before practice. Here's the audio of him doing it from a video that he sent to a stripper who then leaked the video. Don't tell me she was dancing. It's not a white powdery substance, and it's not a Las Vegas model. It's cocaine and a stripper.
Hey, babe. Miss you, thinking about you. How about me going to a meeting and doing this before I go? And there's those big grains falling, but I miss you. I miss you a lot. What do you think, crazy? Oh, no, babe. It's gonna be a while before we can do this again. Because I know you're going to keep that baby.
Wait a second.
But I think about you when I do it. I think about how much I miss you, how high we got together, how much fun it was. So much fun. The last little bit before I go to my meeting.
God.
Was that fucked up yet?
Oh, this next part's the worst. This is the worst.
I think not. I wish I was f***ing this. Off your
God! All right, few things. Don't do cocaine. I mean, whatever, I guess.
Don't do cocaine at work.
Don't do cocaine at work. Soundboard. Don't do cocaine on your desk. Don't do cocaine before a meeting at work. Don't take videos of yourself doing cocaine. Don't send those videos of you doing cocaine. Don't send that video to a stripper. Don't say the things you said in that video, gross man. Did I miss anything?
We'll cover the rest tomorrow.
I mean, there's so many layers for all of these stories. We're going to do all of it tomorrow. Almost Entirely Sports. Hope you enjoyed this speedy version. Bye, Mom.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City. Isn't this a sports show? Almost Entirely.
What is going on?
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
But yeah, I think this segment just went on Marconi.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
So I have a cough button in front of me.
You do.
That I'm not sure is actually my cough button. Let's find out. Nope, that's not mine.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at JB Briscoe.
The computer mouse and I are feuding today.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Nothing like that. Like,
I went left and it went right. Literally, that's what it just did.
On ESPN Kansas City.
All right, so you might be under the impression this show was over like 2 minutes ago, whenever we said it was. Good news. It's not. There's currently a rain delay in Cubs Nationals. So we're just back. We're just back.
We play fast and loose with the rules, and we're back.
Also, it feels now I feel a little disheveled, a little all over the place, because We just went in really hard for 30 minutes there. We had 28 minutes of, like, prime content.
Hang on, I think I've got something that'll help you. Ready?
Yeah, sure. Oh, I feel better. Oh, I'm good. Oh, yeah, that's where we were. Okay. Rip me back to reality. Right. So I think it's only realistic and only right that we pick back up there for a second. So much in there. Oh, here's the part we missed last time we ended the show. She has a baby that she's keeping? Like, we heard that, right? Didn't he say, you can't do this for a while because you want to keep the baby? Wasn't that the phrase that we heard there?
Do you want to hear the whole thing again?
No.
Okay. Yes, that's what he said, basically.
I mean, so that's bat bleep. Also, Beards had an unbelievable point whenever we heard this sound on Sunday night.
Before a lot of the other details had come out about this.
Yeah. This was like, the audio had been out for literally like 30 minutes or something. And Beards and I were here running stuff for Chiefs postgame and everything. And, how do I even approach this? Earmuff your little kids. I'm not going to like curse or anything, but it's just, you'll know. At the end of this clip, the offensive line coach says, I wish I was, I'm going to say bleeping, not because the word isn't appropriate, but in the context, the word gives a little too much away. So the offensive line coach ends it with, I wish I was bleeping this off your bleep. And whenever I pointed out that that's something the offensive line coach said, Beards just went. Do you remember exactly what you said, Beards?
If I remember right, it was along the lines of, that's not something you say to your wife.
No, you just said, well, that's not his wife.
Nope, that's not his wife.
Beards, in a thrilling bit of deduction, heard, can you play the very, very end? Beards heard this sound and immediately and perfectly deduced, oh, this is not a video that he was sending to his partner.
I am not. I wish I was f***ing this. Off your
ah! That's so gross! I also confided in Beards in that moment. I said, I don't in any way, shape, or form understand the logic of what he just said he wished he was doing. And then Beards said, well, when you're on cocaine, stuff like that makes a whole lot more sense. Which again, I thought was another great point by Beards. I mean, if I would have given you exactly one guess, if I said, hey, there's a coach in the NFL, a position coach, who's about to get busted for snorting lines of a white, powdery, mysterious substance off of his desk before meetings. If I gave you the entire NFL, I think you might have been able to say Miami offensive line coach as your first guess. It makes the most... Is there a better candidate in the NFL? Is there a better candidate in the NFL for a position coach anywhere else in the league to be doing coke off his desk before a meeting?
Future pick. Whenever the team, whoever it is, goes to Las Vegas.
Sure. But even then, but also.
Outside of that, not really.
It's really, I think Dolphins offensive line coach, Miami OL coach, is your prime candidate for doing cocaine before a meeting. And I love that. It's such a good story. Ugh. It's just stupendous. And I know it's also, like, sad because he has a family. I get it. And he's, like, he's going to rehab now or something. We can all sort of handle that all at once, right? It's definitely, it's too bad. But it's also tremendous for 1,000 different reasons.
We were going off on this story for about 30 minutes after Chiefs postgame.
Oh, yeah.
We were so excited about this.
Yes.
And then there was no show yesterday.
It's okay. I think we've got some of. So you have. I know, Beard, you cut a clip from Dan Le Batard's show talking about this. How long is this audio clip?
I've got it to about 30 seconds.
Okay. So Le Batard, who's in Miami, also tried to summarize a lot of the most interesting or the most interesting parts or the biggest downfalls of this clip making its way onto the internet from that coach's desk to all of our ears. Here's Le Batard wrapping it up nicely.
Putting it on video, one thing. That's dumb.
Right.
All right, just videotaping yourself doing cocaine. Dumb. Doing it in the office. Dumber. Saying you're doing it in the office before a meeting. Dumber. Sending it to someone. Dumber. Sending it to her. Dumbest.
It's perfect. Yes, there's a hierarchy of dumb here. And he just climbed all the way up. One rung after the next. He was floating up the ladder of stupidity. Also, like, in this, I don't know why I'm like this. Is cocaine a big deal? Is that a weird question to ask?
It's not great.
But, like, why? Like, it's not meth. Like, I feel like there's a hierarchy of bad drugs. And I feel like cocaine is in that mid-zone where it's not... It's a bigger deal than, like, weed. But it's less of a big deal than, like, meth and heroin. I'm not here necessarily advocating the use of cocaine. I'm certainly not advocating the use of cocaine on video, nor am I advocating the use of cocaine while at work and then sending the video to a stripper. I just feel like... I just feel like maybe cocaine's not that big of a deal, like, I don't know, 20 years from now. Both Charlie and Beards have gone to the mic and then put the mic back down in the last 30 seconds. I've never seen you two so scared of a topic.
Well, I was just saying earlier, isn't that what we do before this show every day?
Shh. White powdery substance.
Yes. Oh, yes. Sorry, white powder.
White powdery substance. Not another damn word, or we're not going to hear from Charlie ever again on this show. Our wet and wacky wild
baking
Wednesday.
Baking soda, he says.
Listen. Again. I'm not necessarily advocating more cocaine in sports. But also, like, how much more interesting would curling be? Right? Right?
Fencing.
Oh my, fencing on coke. All right.
No. Arm wrestling.
You know what I think I want? We're going to just keep one up in this. I would watch, like, a professional darts tournament. If they were all doing coke before they threw each of their darts.
What about horse racing?
Oh my god! Horses on cocaine! How have we not had that yet?
Or the horses and the jockeys.
Bring it all! Scarface that bleep! Let's save baseball. We're in a rain delay during the MLB playoffs. Let's save baseball. Here's how I want to save baseball. Everybody does crack. Perfect! We've saved Major League Baseball! The kids are into it again! Because you've got Clayton Kershaw out there. He's throwing the ball through his legs!
Yeah, 150 miles an hour fastball.
Right!
They're trying to hit the ball 800 feet for a home run.
You have to put the nets around the whole stadium because occasionally one of Kershaw's 400 mile an hour fastballs is just going to go straight into left field, just out of his hand. Like, he's just going to wind up and then just launch it into the left field stands at 800 miles an hour. I think we've stumbled upon something fantastic here.
What does a stolen base look like in that scenario?
You pick up a base and take it home. Obviously. Yeah, runner on first and third, and oh, there goes Terrence Gore running 400 miles an hour. He picks up the base and just heads home with it.
Can you imagine home plate collisions?
Oh, that'd be amazing. Or they'd be, or they would just be two people, just like they would get. They would.
The runner leads with his fist, basically.
I like that. Alternatively, I would like to put out the idea that maybe just the microsecond before the collision, they both just stop cold and just stare at each other for 2 days. Just locking eyes for 2 days until it wears off.
It's still the middle of the first inning. 5 days later.
Okay, hold on. I gotta do a quick check on something factually before I commit any slanderous things. Whew, I think I almost did it. Okay, I confused Ron Washington and Dusty Baker for a minute. Don't know why that happened. But didn't Ron Washington have a cocaine problem? Didn't we have cocaine in baseball for a little bit? Oh, God, now I'm asking his questions. There's an article on ESPN.com called How Ron Washington Faces Demons. I'm pretty sure he had a cocaine problem.
Basketball in the 70s had a huge cocaine issue. Charlie just made a great point. I think everybody in the 70s had a huge cocaine problem.
Right, and so, like, everybody made it, right? Like, my dad would have been, like, I don't know, what, like, 12 in the mid-70s? Like, hey, I'm fine.
Those are our parents.
Do you want some Ron Washington updates?
Please. Please tell me if I got that wrong.
In March 17, 2010,
yeah.
Joel Hammond of the Sports Illustrated reported that Washington tested tested positive for cocaine during the 2009 season.
Okay.
And has acknowledged using cocaine.
So, in context, this next word is going to sound kind of wrong, but whew, good. Good that we got that right. Not good that he had a cocaine problem. I guess. I mean, maybe, I don't know.
That was a manager doing cocaine, though. Can you?
I know.
What would that be like?
It was Aaron Judge on cocaine. Again, we fixed baseball.
So when
maybe
so
Ned, when the maybe Jews, Ned Yost would get his bleep out of the dugout and pull a bad start. Ian Kennedy gets pulled in the first inning.
Also, Charlie just made a great point. There's so many more home runs this year. Coincidence?
Ooh, I think not. They've been corking the bats and coking the hitters. Hello. Long fly ball from Alcides Escobar. What? And to think, we almost only had a 30-minute show today. To think, we almost didn't have this wonderful extension of the show. Thank you, Rain. Thank you, Rain, that extended the length of this show.
By the way, Jason walked in. He said he can hear you all the way down from the control room on the other side of the building. So yeah, we might want to tone the judges a little bit.
That makes sense. That's the problem, though, is I'm not. I don't even feel like I'm yelling. My throat hurts a little bit if I get too loud. I'm not even a yeller. I don't even yell. I really don't, especially like not when I'm, like, if I'm angry. I don't yell at things when I'm angry. I just sort of get like brooding.
It's all the cocaine.
The problem is I have a voice that just naturally carries. I had the thought, honestly. I had the thought at the end of what I thought was going to be the end of the show. After that ended, we had what, like 20 seconds between the end of the sound and the end of the show. The thought went through my mind of, what if I just screamed in terror for the next 20 seconds until the show ended? Just shrieking. And that, oh, I can't do that. This is a building full of people trying to do a job right now. So I probably shouldn't. But I thought about that. That went through my mind. And that, well, yeah, no, I that would not be allowed. That would be frowned upon. Eventually someone would come and be like, hey, could you not to do so much shrieking? I would really appreciate that. Oh, yeah, okay. Do we have any update on the rain delay situation currently?
It's still raining.
It's like actively raining? We don't even have like a time?
I think it was on its way. I haven't seen anything about an update on when it will start, but we will try and let you know.
Fantastic.
And by that meaning it will be our show ends and baseball starts.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That totally makes sense. Can you imagine somebody who tuned in at 4:30 for baseball and what they just heard for the last 15 minutes? Can you imagine the state of the, I mean, they turned this off already, I guess, but also, Beards, follow-up question. What's our break situation? Do we need to take a commercial break?
I've been looking at that, and we don't need to take anything really till the end of the hour, so if we want to just
Fantastic.
Go until, you know, we'd normally hit SportsCenter, we'll do that.
Fantastic. Let's talk about the national anthem, huh? Oh, now they're giving me a break signal. No, so, okay. We touched on this briefly in the first half of the show, I guess, whatever, the first long segment. I digress. Vice President Mike Pence went to the Colts game and then left. They ended up making a big to-do about him leaving because there were knees taken during the national anthem. It's just a big cluster bleep. It was a big publicity stunt, rallying support of his own base, whatever. Lockstep with the president and yada yada. Doesn't really. I don't have an enormous interest in that actual story, believe it or not. Just because, like, well, it's a really transparent, shallow, spineless political move. I mean, like, if you want to fight me on that, I guess you could, but I don't really want to. It's just kind of that. It's just kind of a very transparent political stunt that cost taxpayer money to pull off by flying from Las Vegas to Indianapolis to, I believe, back to L.A. So, again, an expensive, transparent, shallow political move. Anyway, that's pretty concise. I cared about that a lot on Sunday when it was happening because, like, oh, man, this is this crazy story. Look at this. And it's actually, in the grand scheme of things here, not that crazy of a story. But Roger Goodell did something today that I find more interesting. Also, Jerry Jones and the Miami Dolphins did some interesting things. But this is today. This is an article from Kevin Seifert on ESPN.com. So the NFL has developed a plan to move past, that's in quotation marks, its ongoing debate about player protests during the national.
What I'm telling you about this.
That was on air, Beards.
My bad.
That was on air. That was on air. I was trying to read from the internet, Beards. This bleeping guy.
The computer had autoplay selected when I was trying to open a file.
I understand. Just, you know. Don't do it again! From Kevin Seifert on ESPN.com. The NFL has developed a plan to, quote, move past its ongoing debate about player protests during the national anthem and could enact it next week, Commissioner Roger Goodell wrote Tuesday in a letter to all 32 teams. Goodell made it clear in the letter obtained by ESPN's Adam Schefter that he wants players to stand during the anthem. He did not provide specifics on how he intends to ensure it, but he wrote that it would, quote, include such elements as an in-season platform to promote the work of our players on these core issues. The issue will be discussed and likely acted upon during the NFL's regularly scheduled fall meetings on October 17th and 18th. In the letter, Goodell said he wanted to end the controversy by agreeing on a uniform approach for all teams. I add now, parenthetically, of course that's what Roger Goodell would want. The entire function of the NFL is to have as many nameless, faceless players as possible, to have as much uniformity as possible, to have as much parity as possible. So you're rooting for teams, because teams, players move around, players get hurt, players retire, players get traded, players get cut, players take a knee during the national anthem. Roger Goodell just wants you to just be a fan of something uniform. Something non-individualistic. Something safe and inoffensive, like the Redskins. Quote, like many of our fans, Goodell wrote, we believe that everyone should stand for the national anthem. Which is a statement there, by the way. Again, adding parenthetically. That is not nothing. That's not the statement of unity that he puffed out a couple weeks ago. It is an important moment in our game. We want to honor our flag and our country, and our fans expect that of us. We also care deeply about our players and respect their opinions and concerns about critical social issues. The controversy over the anthem is a barrier to having honest conversations and making real progress on the underlying issues. We need to move past this controversy, and we want to do that together with our players. The NFL's current anthem policy states that players, quote, should stand for the anthem, but it stops short of requiring it. The proposed new policy is the result of, quote, many discussions with clubs and players, Goodell added. There's a lot in here. This is really interesting. Because, one, it's explicitly folding to what Donald Trump demanded. This is a reflection of the Sons of Bees thing. This is a direct correlation. This conversation did not come whenever Kaepernick did it last year. This conversation comes after the president has made a point to attack the NFL. Secondly, this is in no way, shape, or form anything resembling where Goodell made himself want to sound like he was whenever this was happening after the Sons of Bees thing happened. They're talking about unity. Some teams were talking about how they wanted their players to be able to express their individuality, the social things that matter to them. They want to support their players who are standing or kneeing, I suppose, for the things that matter to them. This is a very, very different posture that Roger Goodell is taking now, which is unsurprising. But it's inconsistent. Its roots are not very deep. And it's unsurprising. And some of the wording of it is bothersome to me. It's the wording that the head of an organization would use. But it creates a very, a kind of a humanly callous way of phrasing all of this. Beards, you're having a terrible segment.
I know, I had things mixed around.
Turn the music down. The music is too loud. I don't need to hear the music the loudest possible at the end of an hour. Just a mess. Here's what I wanted to point out before Beards interrupted me with bad producing. Goodell says here they want to move past the debate about player protests. Players would like for police officers to move past unjustly killing citizens that don't deserve to be killed. The phrasing is exactly what I've always expected from the NFL, which is, let's get this out of the way. Nah. Let's move past this. Let's not have to take a stance on anything. Let's just move past it. I don't want to think about it anymore. And I think several players are going to keep it in the forefront of the NFL's mind.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City.